بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, in the past couple of weeks we had been discussing a discourse of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi on tasawwuf, the various stations a person goes through, different maqamat of sabr, shukr, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah rabbul izzat, tawakkul. We discuss all these things for the past couple of weeks. Inshallah, today we will discuss a talk that was given by Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab Naqshbandi Damat Barakatuhum. All of us are quite familiar with him. His talks are very inspiring. So in some talk of his that he had given, and this is the gist of what he had given in one of his bayan. He commences his talk with this verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, where Allah Ta'ala says, I have not created jinn and mankind except to make my ibadat. Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab continues, and it is written, the reality of life. What is the reality of life? He says, a traveler notices even the pebbles on the road that he or she is currently traveling on. And in contrast, fails to notice even the looming mountains of the road that he is not on. This is the reality of life. That a person is traveling. So as he is traveling, he is looking down and he is observing and witnessing all those tiny pebbles. But the looming mountains and the greenery around, that he fails to observe. So in dunya, we fail to realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't ponder over the great makhlukat of Allah Rabbul Izzat that Allah Ta'ala has created, so that we, upon looking at those things, will remind ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But things like pebbles, which are of no value, we spend our time whiling away in those things. And exactly what Hazrat Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah had mentioned, obviously this I'm saying from my side, to explain what Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab has just mentioned in one or two sentences. Hazrat Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned the famous incident about that worm that was traveling up the tree and it seen that bunch of grapes, and suddenly it found itself on a huge leaf, very fresh green leaf, and it spent all its time on the green leaf, which was not its purpose and destination. Its destination was the beautiful, that very delicious grapes, but it became so comfortable and so cozy in this green leaf that it forgot its destination, it forgot its objective. And this is exactly what happens in this world, that we become so accustomed with the pleasures and the comforts of this dunya, that we forget our ultimate destination, that is the akhirat. That's the reality of life. Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab says, life is an examination room. This life is not a place for fun, nor is it for rest and relaxation. This life is an examination room, where we as Muslims undergo trials and tribulations to prepare for the next life. So all of us are going through the imtihan, like how students are writing examinations. Whenever they do write, there's an examination that they have to pass, and then when they succeed, then they move on. So exactly like that, we are all writing an examination. So those students who go to school or university to play and have fun, now obviously they will fail in those examinations. And when they fail, then it is too late to lament and cry. So exactly like that is this dunya, that it is an examination room. Hazrat Maulana says, unfortunate people today have made this life their sole purpose. We have made dunya our maqsad. And we made dunya our maqsood. This is our objective, this is our destination. We have forgotten that we are going to pass dunya and go ultimately to the akhirat. So we have made this our sole purpose and forgotten that we have to use the time allotted to prepare for the hereafter. And this time that we have is a limited time. Nobody knows exactly how long he has or she has in this world. In that limited time, we have to write this examination and succeed in this examination so that we may have perpetual bliss and happiness in the hereafter. This is dunya. This is life in this world. It is an examination room. The purpose of life. The purpose of life is servitude to Allah Ta'ala. And the purpose of existence is His remembrance. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ To make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. A servant, an abd, is only one who has the qualities of servitude. Otherwise, his existence is a lie and has no meaning. So Hazrat Mawlana says that we have to become ibadur Rahman, we have to become an abd in this world. We have to make the ibadat of Allah, liya'budun, so that the people may worship me, Allah Ta'ala says. We have to recognize Allah Ta'ala. We are existing in this world to remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Imagine coming to this world and a person is completely negligent, heedless of the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Or he does not recognize Allah Rabbul Izzah, despite all the things that we see around us. That show us Allah Ta'ala's existence, Allah Ta'ala's wujud, Allah Ta'ala's wahdaniyat, Allah Ta'ala's greatness. But we live in this world forgetting or not realizing Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's existence. Food, shelter and occupation, these are all necessities in life. But the real purpose is the pleasure and the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Unfortunately, most of the time people reverse this paradigm by making this life their purpose. It says the Quran Majid, it is the water of life. The treasury of truths and wisdom, that is the Holy Quran, is a nourishing lifeblood for humanity. Allah Ta'ala revealed this book so that humanity would come out of darkness into light. We come out of zulumat towards nur. Darkness of shirk, kufr, oppression, gunas, vice, evil, corruption. And we come into the nur of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We come into the nur of Iman, Taqwa, Hidayat. And so whoever reads this Quran which is nur, whoever reads this Quran and applies it, that is the important thing. Not just recitation of the Quran. Recitation, whoever reads it and applies it will be successful both in this life and the hereafter. It is simple as that. Examination room in which we have to abide by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's commandment. We have to believe in Allah. Obey Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We have the Quran and Majid with us. And if a person abides by the laws of the Quran, they will be successful in both this dunya and the akhirah. The Holy Quran has been revealed to polish mankind's heart and character and give him dignity so that he may be successful. If this Quran and Majid is implemented throughout life, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's help, Allah's blessings shower upon the individual, and with Allah Ta'ala's help, a person surely reaches his destination. Life without principles. Mankind's existence is based on certain principles, if led according to the Quran and of course the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we have with us the Quran Majid, which is a book of hidayat, guidance. And with that, Allah Ta'ala gave us Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beautiful Sunnah, a practical example for us. We have these two things. And if we follow Quran and Sunnah, then inshallah, we will be able to pass through this examination. And only such a life will have the help of Allah. The help of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in dunya as well. For all our problems, Allah's madad will be there. Allah's nusrat will be there. In qabr also, we will be assisted. Akhirat also, we will be assisted. A life without principles and rules is an animal's life and not man's life. So there are principles, there are laws, there are regulations, there are rules. And even though that these rules sometimes we may outwardly seem are difficult, we don't like these rules. They're difficult for us to practice upon. We don't understand the wisdom behind these rules of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has laid out these rules, and all these rules and regulations that Allah has set out for us, there is great wisdom behind these rules. And there is great benefit, and there is only benefit for us. Allah Ta'ala is not a cruel person. Allah Ta'ala does not want to put us in such a bondage and make life difficult for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set out rules for us, and there is wisdom behind these rules. There is hikmat behind these rules. There's benefit for us. A life without following these rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you're not following the Quran and Sunnah. Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu says, it is a life of an animal. Which rules animals follow? They do as they wish. They eat what they want. There's nobody governing them. But here, insan, he is a slave of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He's an abd of Allah. And this is the meaning of servitude. He has to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That life which is governed by nafs, mankind is the best of creation. And consequently, his life has a certain status. He's ashraful makhluqat. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored man. Man did not enter this world by his own will. And certainly will not leave by his own will. So based on this, man came not on his own will. And nobody will leave this world through his own will. Based on this, he certainly has no right then to spend his life according to his wishes and nafs. But he has to abide by the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obeying Allah's commands is the only guarantee of success in this life and the next. And this is a simple thing to understand, that true obedience of Allah Ta'ala's commandments guarantees a person success in dunya and the akhirat. Life at its pinnacle is servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without this, life is but shame. Each passing day is a page from a person's book of life. We all have a book of life. So each day, each passing day is one page from a person's book of life. It is up to that person to write good or bad on that page. However, unlike the page of a book that the reader can always refer back to, a day in life that has passed is gone forever and can never be recovered. How beautifully Hazrat Maulana has mentioned, he says, unlike the page of a book that any reader, we have this book, we can always go back to what we already passed, we already read. But this life in dunya, each day as it goes by, is one life, one book, one page of the book of your life, which has gone, and you can never come back to it. So a day in life that is past is gone forever and can never be recovered. Thus, each day is invaluable and should be utilized to its maximum potential in earning righteous deeds. So this time that we have, this life that we have, the days that we have, as some mashayikh have explained, like a block of ice. Rafta, rafta, chupke, chupke, dam, badam. It's melting, melting, melting away. Until the block of ice has melted, and there's the end of life. He says, one sage would say, the days are of three types. One type is yesterday. It's a day, yesterday. A day that is past, and is no longer within reach. A second type is tomorrow. A day in the future about which one does not yet know, because the future is ever changing. We do not know whether we will see tomorrow. And the third type is today, a day that is still here and within our one's control. Thus this Buzrug would say, O man, neither should you postpone till tomorrow, nor hope that tomorrow will come. Today is in your hands, so use it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is such a beautiful lesson and nasihat, that we shouldn't be doing what we call in Arabic is tasweef. In Arabic, the word sofa means soon, soon, soon. We don't procrastinate. Don't ever leave anything important for the next day. Because we do not know whether we will see the next day or not. Especially when it comes to deen. You have the tawfiq of doing some good amal, then do it now and reap the rewards of it. And secure your sawab in the akhirat for it. Otherwise, the day will go past and we can never come back to that day. Hazrat Rabia Basriya Rahmatullahi alayha used to say, O man, alas, your teeth have fallen out. Your teeth have fallen out, consuming the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your tongue has not worn out singing His praises. Subhanallah. Rabia Basir Rahmatullahi used to say, O man, alas, Your teeth has fallen out consuming the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us. When you're small, we have milk teeth, and then we get to offer the permanent teeth, and then false teeth. And we have sometimes no teeth. Why? We're eating all the different ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This teeth becomes worn out. But the zuban that we had, this tongue, does it become worn out, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? An awakening moment, Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayhi, we had mentioned about him. He was such a buzurg that only halal went to his system, into his system. And therefore he was mustajab al-da'wat also. As a morsel of food would come close to his mouth, he would just sense whether it is from halal or haram. If it was haram, immediately he'd leave it out. When he had passed on, from his qabr, the fragrance of musk was coming out for years. He was a master in tafsir. As Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayhi once said, whilst giving a dars in the class, that at one time he met a special lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the marketplace. As Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah greeted him. So the buzrugani deen, these people, walis of Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can recognize one another. So he made him out and he greeted him. He asked this man a seemingly strange question. Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori greeted this man. And so this man asked Hazrat Maulana a very strange question. He asked, Ahmad Ali, where do people live? Where are all the people? Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Rahmatullahi was surprised. And pointing to the scores of people in the marketplaces, Hazrat, these are all people in front of you that you see. Hearing this, the man cast a strange look at the people in the bazaar and said, really? These are all people? As Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah said, the man's tawajjuh affected him so deeply, and when he looked again, he only saw cats and dogs milling around. Regarding this incident, Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah say that there are very few individuals who surrender in totality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith of Rasulullah which is mentioned, whoever is for Allah, then Allah is for him. So what does Allah Ta'ala expect from us? To become true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how Allah Ta'ala ought to be served and obeyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who conceals. Many times people praise us despite all our weaknesses. So of course, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has concealed our faults. He hasn't exposed us. People are praising us despite all the wrongs that we are doing. Hazrat Maulana says, my friend, all who praise you, in actuality, praise the one who conceals your faults. So in reality, we are supposed to be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah conceals the faults of people from one another. And hence, the one who praises is actually praising Allah, the concealer of all faults. If Allah ta'ala had to reveal anyone's faults, then one Muslim would not be even be able to show his face to another out of shame. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides faults, so that the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers such undeserved praise on a Muslim, then this is all the more reason that the Muslim should shower praise and gratitude on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People praise us despite all the wrongs we are doing and all our weaknesses and guna and filthy lives that we are living. But they say, mashallah, you are like this and you're a buzrug and you're pious, etc. In reality, Allah has concealed our faults. So who we should be thanking? Oh Allah, you do not expose me. If only you expose me, what this person would have thought of me? My own parents, my own wife, my own children, my own ustad, my own students. So in reality, if Allah Ta'ala has done this kind favor upon us, we should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. The signs of Allah Ta'ala's anger. One of the main signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy towards someone is that He starts to reveal that person's faults to Himself so that the person can recognize them and make efforts to correct himself. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our faults to us, it is in reality the rahmat of Allah upon us so that we may quickly remedy and change our lives. Many mashayikh, many people, they see a dream in which they are being rebuked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Or the meaning of the dream is that now they're going to change their life. So they're lucky Allah Ta'ala is warning them to quickly reform themselves. But somebody doesn't see any dream, and if his faults are not revealed to him, then he will continue living this world and he will never reform himself. So when Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is on a person, Allah will show him his weaknesses so that he may change himself. Hazrat Mawlana says, in dire contrast to that, a major sign of Allah Ta'ala's displeasure and anger towards someone is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides that person's faults from himself, from that person. So that person will continue making errors and blunders. He'll continue sinning and he will never rectify those mistakes. Hence, we should regularly ponder upon our faults and take account of our actions on a daily basis. And this is what you call muhasabah. We have accountants who make hisab kitab. We should be taking stock of our lives, of our deeds. We should be doing that on a daily basis. Don't wait for month and we forget what we did in the beginning of the month. So every day in the evening before sleeping, I did that, I said that, was not correct, I hurt somebody's feelings, I was asking for maaf, I didn't read my namaz with khushu and khudu today, tilawat of the Quran I forgot about today. So that's muhasabah. And try and rectify ourselves. Our face in the mirror, we do see, it's a poem, our face in the mirror we do see, but ignore the darkness of our heart. Our face in the mirror we do see, but ignore the darkness of our heart. So in love with living, Muslims have forgotten how to die. In love with living in this world, Muslims have forgotten how to die. Words that made nations bow down. We are the brave youths who would stay awake at night in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making nations and hearts tremble with the cries of La ilaha illallah. In the past, there were young people who would spread out the musalla at night, and if they were being attacked by some enemy, they would make wudu and resort to 2 rakat salat, and they would beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the quwwat of the heart, the batini quwwat of the heart, quwwat al qalb, was such that one La ilaha illallah was so powerful, it will cause terror in the hearts of the enemy. With your look, hearts would tremble in the breast. Lost now is your conquering spirit. If people make a sincere effort to rectify their souls, they can soar even higher than the angels. So the Holy Quran was revealed so that man may implement it throughout life and then rule the dunya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Hira, he descended. And for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Hira he descended. And for a sleeping nation, he brought the valuable parchment. Like a lightning strike it fell and shook the whole land of Arabia. The Holy Quran shook all of Arabia because it entered and reformed the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. So this treasury of truth and wisdom that today merely occupies shelf space in the Muslim's home was a part of the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, so that the entire world bowed where they turned. And this is exactly what we learn in the lives of Sahaba. That they made amal of the Qur'an Majid. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala took long to memorize Surah Baqarah. Why? He is memorizing Surah Baqarah, but not just by hearting these verses of Surah Baqarah. As he recited, as he memorized, he made amal on each verse. And therefore it took him a long time to memorize Surah Baqarah. On one ayat, on one verse, they would reflect and ponder over it. If somebody rectified them and advised them, أَمَا تَقْرَأُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, don't you read this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you know this verse of the Quran? Immediately they would ponder and reflect, yes, this is the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would implement that in their lives. So the curing prescription, if a person is suffering from a physical ailment such as a heart disease, Allah save us, he will of course get a prescription from a doctor in the hope of being cured. However, if the same patient returns after some time complaining that this condition has not improved, but at the same time the prescription has not left his pocket and not being utilized. He didn't purchase this medication. He didn't take those medication. Nothing. He just took the prescription of the doctor thanked him, put it in his pocket, comes back with the same complaint. So, Hazrat Maulana says, he is a loser and has no one to blame but himself. Prescriptions have to be utilized if they are to work. If you want them to work, we have to take the prescription. The Holy Quran is a curing prescription for all ailments, whether seen or unseen. But sadly, this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala occupies just shelf space. We're just adorning our homes, our bookcases. Muslims then complain of one calamity after another, and of their children turning rebellious, until very soon the whole family disintegrates. Such chains of events are put into motion when Allah's commands are ignored, and thus lives become devoid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies. We should make the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our life's purpose, and never be heedless for an instant. All the time, turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. The moment we forget, we become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then immediately come back onto track. We are human beings, we will err, we will make mistakes, we will become ghafil. So this servant should constantly praise the one who sustains him. Just think of the food that you're eating. Where did this food come? This rosy, who's providing for us? Nobody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should immediately, as we are taking this one luqma of food, one morsel of food, before putting it into your mouth, realize and ponder, who brought it? Who gave it to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned to you previously, Mullah Faqir Muhammad Rahmatul Ali, very great Buzruk, he should cry very quickly. He's crying on that hour because of some pain, physical pain. He would cry pondering over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will see Allah's ni'mat is so much, Allah's greatness is so much, and how weak a banda I am. I'm not making qadr of Allah's ni'mat. Genuinely, just one morsel of food he would take to put into his mouth, and he would just let out a shriek, he would cry. See, Allah, teri di hui ni'mat hai. Ya Allah, this is your given ni'mat to us. What a great ni'mat, this one morsel of food. There is true shukr that the mashayikh and the people of the past used to make. So for wheat to become bread that is consumed by human beings, first a seed is planted into the ground. It is nourished by the sun and by the rain. It then grows into a plant that is reaped by the farmer. Finally becomes bread for the consumer after that plant is cleaned. So much of Allah Ta'ala's creation and mercy is active in bringing this wheat to the table as food. Yet we who consume it are heedless and negligent, and we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get an animal knows its master. If a dog or sheep is unleashed from its master in a busy place, it will still be seen and observed to follow the master despite all the other distractions in the market. You can go and watch, the dog will still follow its master. If an animal knows its master, then why is mankind so blind that it does not recognize its master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's a difference between a man and a horse. A horse, being a dumb animal, is nevertheless loyal to the master who raised it and subsequently owns it. If worked endlessly all day, it cannot complain if it is sick or ask for water if it's thirsty. And it will work endlessly the following day the same way for its master. The horse can only hope for some rest if the master happens to stop for his own business. And in the same way, hope for some water only if it happens to be available. It cannot stop according to its will. If the need arises, it has to continue still and has to relieve itself while pulling the cart on its way. Moreover, if given less than its full share of feed at the end of the long hard day, it cannot even complain at that. The master retires to his warm bed at night, but there is nothing but the cold stable for the horse. If this horse develops an open wound, it still cannot complain that the master did not bandage it. And if he whipped it, it will also bravely withstand this cruelty, because it knows the master's bidding must be done. Standing in the ranks of the battlefield, facing the swords and arrows of the enemy, the horse still does not hesitate when it feels the master's heel in its side. The horse knows that the master wants it to advance into the enemy's ranks for battle. So it will suffer the wounds from the swords and arrows, but it will show its loyalty to its master. It recognizes the instruction of the master. A horse is a dumb animal, but yet so loyal, so obedient, that it will give its life to that master. On the other hand, man who has been given intelligence, aqal, is nowhere as close in his obedience and making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tremendous favors Allah ta'ala has given man. There are 360 joints in the human body. Yet who gives thanks at the end of the day that every joint remained intact and no harm came to his body? One little thumb begins to pain, or the bone on the thumb, or a knee, or a foot. Then we realize this was such an important limb of my body, or bone, or part of my body. And then we begin to realize, what about 360 joints in the body? We had discussed previously, a person who reads the dua, Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik fa minka wahdaka la sharika lak fa lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. Then you have fulfilled the shukr for the day. You fulfilled the shukr for the day. One subhanallah you read, so the 360 joints we've got, it is necessary for us to make shukr for those 360 joints. So person is so many times dhikr, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. Or help some person on the road, give somebody some transport, helps him with his luggage. All those things are making shukr for the 360 joints that we have. But a person is 2 rakat chash namaz, Allah is so kind, 2 rakat chash namaz, then that will suffice all the other things that a person has to do to make the shukr of the 360 joints. So Allah has given us his joints. All these things should enable us, or compel us in fact, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says this is a very strange incident. Literally, there are literally millions of dust particles floating through the air at any given time that one does not notice, but can see a layer of dust settle on something if it is left in one place for a long time. It so happened once that a person was involved in an accident that tore off one of his eyelids. The blessing of an eyelid is that it opens and closes like a shutter, thereby protecting the eye from foreign objects. It also keeps moisture flowing, that in turn keeps the eye cleansed. Now without an eyelid, this person would have to wash his eye because a layer of dust would settle very quickly, obscuring his vision and of course also threatening infection. However, constant washing of the eye also poses a threat of infection, because normally the eye is not accustomed to that much direct washing. Hence, it was only now that this person realized what a tremendous blessing a seemingly insignificant part of the anatomy that it was. Eyelids. Do we ever ponder over the eyelids? Or the eyelashes? Perhaps, yeah, we'll check the eyebrows, especially women. They're very fond of checking their eyelashes and eyebrows. Allah save us. I mentioned previously some time back, it is not permissible for women to trim or shave the eyebrows. There are many young girls who are involved in this haram act. Hadith is very clear. No shaping and trimming and cutting of the eyebrows. It is totally against the Shariat. We as parents should stop them. So, this eyelashes, eyebrows, so important it is. It is only then the person realizes. Such is the case with all humanity. That takes all of Allah Ta'ala's blessings for granted. There is no shortcoming in the number of people who ask everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a tremendous shortcoming in those who are grateful. The root cause of this ungratefulness is the heedlessness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have become ghafil of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Completely ghafil. We forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all that He, Allah Ta'ala, has provided. A heedless person has an entirely different outlook on life than someone aware of Allah and His favors. This morning I was mentioning about ghaflat, a life of ghaflat. One is to become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say he is totally heedless of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And opposite to that is dhakir. He is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is a ghafil, ghafilin we have. And dhakir, dhakirin. We all must become in the group of dhakireen, those who remember Allah Rabbul Izzat. Constantly remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We are so fortunate that we have masjid, madrasas, we have programs, we have tabligh, we have tazkiyah, we have ta'aleem, we have buzurganadeen coming all the time. So all the time we are reminded of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Imagine those people who have no program in their life, there's no masjid in their life, they don't hear azan, they never come to salat, their life is only in pleasure activities, futile activities, in just eating out all the time, restaurants, music, cinemas, shows, pleasure, entertainment, in their home also TV, and just enjoyment with the family. They never take the name of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. What type of life is that? That is ghaflat, where you have completely become neglectful of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, as though you are unaware of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Ghaflat, the degrees of ghaflat vary. Sometimes a person is completely ghafil. Sometimes he's not as much as ghafil as like that person who has no Allah in his life at all. He remembers now and then, perhaps once or twice a year, Eid Salat, somebody passes away, then he'll have to come to the masjid for the janazah salat. Or if suddenly, or his wife gave birth, now he don't know what to do, he'll run by the Mawlana. Some people don't even do that. Adhan, Iqama, Tahniq, Aqiqah, nothing. Qurbani, he sees everybody, he's not even sure what to do. Perhaps he gets some tawfiq. So now and then, he will remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So there are different degrees of ghaflat. Allah Ta'ala save us. Somebody asked me, like, what do you mean by ghaflat? So I said, see a person standing here now, and he's talking on a cell phone. You will find he'll never be standing on the same place. Why? His mind is not on what he was doing and what way he's standing. His mind is totally now consumed in that conversation. And especially if it's something very important. So he's talking to that person and he is deeply engrossed in that conversation to such an extent he's completely oblivious of his surroundings. So you'll find him pacing up and down, moving up and down. He'll never be standing stationary in one place. And if he's sitting on his chair and talking, you'll see him making actions. In the car, he's moving and you see him talking. You think, who is he talking to? No passenger in the seat. And watch how he drives. He'll never be driving correctly. And you are behind him, he'll be driving slowly. Now you think there's no cars in front of him. What's the matter with this person? Is he lost, looking for some place? No. As you go nearer, you see he's on the cell phone and irritates you. So this is ghaflat. He does not realize his surroundings. He has become totally engrossed in something else. So this is when a person forgets Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala completely. As though Allah Ta'ala does not exist. Ma'adhal, Allah protect us. The other example of ghaflat, we have Hazrat Murabbul Hamid Sahib should always give this example. The mother is expecting some visitors at home and she's got the pot of hot oil, and ready to throw in the samosas, and suddenly somebody phones her, and she's busy in the conversation, and she forgets for the few moments that she had that hot pot of oil burning there. And the little child, very curious, sees this pot and the handle sticking out, and tries to see what's happening there, just touches that handle, and then that whole pot falls on him, hot oil is poured over his body, he's screaming and he's burning. Why? That is because of the ghaflat of the mother. A person who is playing chess is haram. He's playing chess. One of the reasons why it will be haram. One of the reasons. There are many reasons. He is totally consumed on every move that he's going to make. I don't know how to play. I promise you that. But I know they make moves. So on the chessboard, he has to be now giving all his attention. Little bit of ghaflat that he makes whilst playing, and if his mind goes to something else, he'll lose the game. He won't know what move to make. So he's consumed. And I thought they play for a couple of hours. Somebody says they play for days on end. They're playing for days on end. Why they totally consume on that? It comes in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW. Man ittaba'a sayda ghafala. That person who's hunting a prey, he's following the prey. He's going to shoot a buck. So all his concentration and his complete attention is focused on that animal. He'll be absolutely still. He won't talk to his friends. He'll be silent and he's observing. As the animal is moving, he's following it completely. He won't be able to just take out his rifle and just shoot. It's impossible to shoot it like that. You have to watch and every move and then see when is the right time to strike. So all his time and all his energy and all his attention is spent only on that. So man ittaba'a as-sayd ghafala, hadith of Rasulullah SAW. The person who is going to follow that animal intently, he'll become ghafil. He'll forget everything else. Namaz time will come and go. He won't be bothered because now his whole attention is focused on something. The person who is in the airport, who is in charge of the traffic control, air traffic control, if little bit of ghaflat is found in him, then suddenly he'll have no, he won't be giving the right signals to the pilots and the right instructions, and there can be heavy major crashes then. So he has to be alert all the time, and all his attention is on those aircrafts that are flying. So imagine a person who has no Allah Rabbul Izzat. When his mind is only, and all his aqal and intelligence and his time and money and his wealth and everything only focus on dunya. There is no Allah in his life. He's a complete ghafil person. Allah save us. Allah Ta'ala must make us dhakir. We have to become ghafil of dunya now. Of the pleasures of dunya to become true dhakirs of Allah. Don't misconstrue this. I need to become ghafil of Allah. You become zakir of Allah. How? By ignoring the dunya pleasures now. Becoming heedless of all dunya and mundane activities and futile things of this dunya. Now is the time to prepare for akhirat. Focus towards akhirat. And that is dhikr. That is zakir. That now we remember Allah Rabbul Izzat. Hazrat Maulana gives an incident about a youth who migrated from India to Pakistan, and he lost all touch with his relatives over time. He found himself all alone. There was an uncle who also migrated some time after that, but the two were not together. They were separated. They didn't have contact with each other. So this youth is working very hard. Allah rewarded him with a lot of wealth, comfortable home. An elderly gentleman once, after some years, approached him. He said, I'm old, I'm alone, without any family, no relation. I'm willing to work. Whatever job you give me, I'll keep watch in front of this house if you employ and feed me. This youth agreed, fixed a wage for this elderly man. Now since this man was elderly, he moved slowly, sickly due to age and health. Hence, if working slowly or not at all, due to illness at any time, his employer will become very angry and curse him. Something that would deeply hurt this old man. And it would reduce him to weeping. Once it so happens, this young man curses the old man. So severely, the latter said, my son, Allah is the provider. So if your heart is not pleased with me, I'll go somewhere else. Taqdeer has reduced me to this. Otherwise, I had come with a lot of relatives. We all are separated. I did not know what happened to them. I've got no contacts. Hearing this, he reminded this young man of his own situation regarding his relatives that he had originally started with from India. He asked, old man, what happened to your relatives? This old man gave the entire story of emigrating from India to Pakistan, during which he became separated and lost from the family. The young man was stunned and he realized that this was the same uncle he had, who was in India, who his mother would pine for since they all lost contact. The youth now fell to his uncle's feet, weeping and begging for forgiveness for the harsh words that he used. He pleaded, uncle, I have made a mistake, please forgive me. This entire mansion is yours to live here and do as you please for the rest of your life. However, this uncle declined the offer and said, no, my son, I now realize my place in this world and who I am. This youth gravely misjudged a certain situation, and now the reality turned out to be something very different from what he had assumed. Realizing the truth, he now begged forgiveness from the same person he was cursing a moment earlier, but regretfully could not turn back the clock. The situation is likewise for the believer who has become estranged from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only when he comes in the company of those close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does he begin to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator, and realize what a wasteful life he has been living. There was a white bearded man, a sage, who was once asked his age. So he replies, and he said, I must be around 10 to 12 years old. So questioner was very surprised. Hazrat, you're old. How can you be only 10 or 12 years old when your hair is all white? This elderly person replied, yes, my son, it has been 12 years only since I sincerely repented for my sins. Before that, I did not have a life. It was only shame. So that is a life of ghaflat. But now Allah gave him tawfiq. So he's only counting the time when he had become idhakir of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind. Allah ta'ala is so forgiving. So even if we lived a life of ghaflat, there is still hope. Remember, one is yesterday, one is tomorrow. But today is still within our control. We can still do something. And therefore turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the lesson we have been mentioning 1,000 times now. Hazrat Maulana, every other person keeps on mentioning about tawbah, istighfar, tawbah, tawbah. Allah ta'ala is so kind. Allah is so merciful. This is a beautiful incident of Qarun. Now we know Qarun and Fir'aun. Qarun was given abundant wealth. But he's an arrogant person. Once a woman falsely accused Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam of illicit relationship of her, with her, in front of Qarun. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was very hurt and angry when the truth was finally revealed. So actually Qarun had set up this plan and this ploy to belittle Musa alayhi salatu salam, to disgrace him, embarrass him, and falsely accuse him in front of the Bani Israel. So it was Qarun's plan. And the truth was finally revealed. He cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in desperation. Musa alayhi salam said, oh Allah, he accused me of such a falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never bear any of his prophets to be in pain, any of his messengers to be in pain. So for a limited time, Allah ta'ala commanded the earth to fulfill Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's desire. Whatever command he gives. Allah ta'ala said, my beloved Nabi, the earth will obey your every command now. For a little time. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was angry with what Qarun had done to him. So in his anger, he commanded the earth to swallow Qarun. The Quran talks about, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Quran talks about how we sank Qarun and with his house. Hence Qarun sank in the earth up to a fraction of his body. He was being sunk slowly, gradually. Hazrat Musa issued the same command. And Qarun is sinking deeper and deeper. Qarun is weeping loudly, begging for forgiveness. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam, at the peak of his anger, issued a third and final command for the earth to completely swallow Qarun. Qarun then disappeared into the earth. And Qarun was finally gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam, oh my beloved Nabi, you were in anger and commanded the earth three times to swallow Qarun. I swear on my own honor and anger that if I was deciding the issue and Qarun begged for forgiveness, I would surely forgive him. I would have surely forgiven him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his creation, coming to him for repentance. And such a deed is very valuable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An elderly gentleman passed by a group of debating youths who asked him to settle a matter between amongst them. One of them asked, we are debating whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps special observation and watch on the heart of a very pious and righteous person, or does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep a special, as we talk about nigaya rahmat, special merciful glance and watch on a sinless, on the heart of a grave sinner. So does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at the person who's very righteous at his heart with a merciful glance and keen observation, or is Allah ta'ala looking with nazir, karam and rahmat to the heart of a grave sinner who sincerely repents? Two people. One is the person, mashallah, very pious, stays away from all sins. And the other person is a grave sinner, but who has made tawbah. So we are debating, these youngsters are saying, on whose heart is Allah ta'ala special nigah and keen observation upon. The man replied to the youth, my son, I'm not a scholar, I'm no alim, but I have observed one thing in my profession as a cloth weaver. As he works the spool, a thread no doubt breaks, and so I tie it back up. As I work the spool, a thread no doubt breaks, and so I tie it back up. And from that point on, I keep a special eye on that specific thread to see that it does not break again. It is entirely possible when someone repents from a previous satanic life and returns to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps a special watch on him to make sure that this heart does not slip and go astray again. This is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So if we made guna, we made tawbah, istighfar, and now we get the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan's illusion. Shaitan always deceives us. And what's a very dangerous misconception is that people can be anything on the outside, as long as the heart is itself clean. Inside is heart. Many people say, my inside is very clean. Don't worry about my outside. This is a delusion of shaitan. Because the effects of a clean and pure heart should be apparent on the outside and rectify one's actions and personality as well. If this is not the case, then this is clear proof that the heart is not clean. It is essential that people work on both batin and zahir, both hand in hand. Muslims are weak, unable to rectify themselves unless they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people were to work diligently on trying to rectify the character, the akhlaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify and purify the inner through the intention and hard work. Hazrat Abu Mahdura radiallahu ta'ala was a youngster at the time of Rasulullah. He was not a Muslim. And he was with other youngsters, all were disbelievers. Rasulullah and Sahaba going past, probably they camped at a certain area. It was time for Salat. Hazrat Bilal would give the Azan. So these youngsters began to laugh at the Azan of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. They were non-Muslims. Abu Mahdura was the ringleader. So he began to imitate Bilal, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and began to laugh. After the Adhan, Rasulullah had seen this. So he called for them. All the children ran away except Abu Mahdura, who was the oldest of the group. He felt ashamed to run away like the others. Rasulullah summoned him closer and closer. And he came. He was very afraid. Abu Mahdura was very afraid. He started sweating in apprehension. Rasulullah calmed him. And he was not too frightened. But he asked him to say the exact words, what he heard, what he was saying, what he was mocking. And those were the words of the Azan. So Abu Mahdura radiallahu ta'ala, the riwayat said, that first he said softly. Nabi said, no, say it again loudly. So he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Like that he gave the entire Azan. It is mentioned in the kitabs that Rasulullah then placed his Mubarak hand on the chest of Abu Mahdura radiallahu ta'ala. And the moment he did this, Allah ta'ala then blessed him with hidayat. He was a youngster. And Abu Mahdura radiallahu, when he had imitated Hazrat Bilal radiallahu adhan, as he had done earlier, and a change, the hidayat, change seemed to come over him. As he reached the end of the adhan, he had got Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, far as I can remember, he had completed the adhan, and Rasulullah had placed his Mubarak hands on his chest, and immediately he got hidayat. Allah Ta'ala planned it that. When he finished, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him that now you can go. Abu Mahdura radiallahu hesitated. He now said to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Mahdura will now only go wherever the messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala goes. He embraced Islam. And after this, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made him also one of the muaddins. There were four muaddins, special muaddins in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Bilal is one, Abu Mahdura is another. So a moment earlier, this boy had been mocking Islam's call to prayer. But as his eyes fell upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala in his infinite mercy turned this mockery into reality and opened Abu Mahdura radiallahu anhu's heart to Islam. Hazrat Abu Mahdura radiallahu anhu later became the muaddin. Later he became the muaddin of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and approximately for the next 60 years, even after Rasulullah left this dunya, Abu Mahdura radiallahu anhu was still the muaddin. So the Mazul Fiqar Sahib says, Damat Barakatum, he says, may it also be so that Allah Ta'ala accepts our poor imitation and turns it into reality
and rectifies our hearts through our poor efforts at trying to rectify our appearance to match that of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Creator, I have brought a resemblance, a shabat of your beloved. I have merely brought an appearance. So Allah, you please turn that into a reality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal on this very simple discourse. But this is the reality of life. This is the examination that we are all going through. We have Quran, we have Sunnah. We have to implement this into our lives. Make tawbah and istighfar. And don't live a life of ghaflat. But bring dhikrullah in our life. Dhikrullah means not only by dhikr of the tongue, but by means of our action. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.